Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During this Lenten season, we are meeting witnesses to Christ's passion in John's Gospel. Today we hear about John. John, that is, who is the author of this Gospel. And honestly, John was there for it all. He was what they call one of Jesus' inner three, right? There were 12 apostles that we know about, but specific times in Jesus' ministry, he takes aside with him, who? But Peter, James, and John. These three literally get to see and hear it all. More than any other character that is ever represented in Scripture, other than God himself, these three men are there. And John himself even standing there at the crucifixion. Underneath Christ's cross, we find John. John's gospel has been leading up to this moment of Jesus' death. It was in the very first chapter of John, in fact, where John tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In the very first chapter, we find out who Jesus is and what he came to do. The Lamb who will spill his blood in sacrifice. As we continue through John's Gospel, John 3 tells us that Jesus will be lifted up on a pole, just like the bronze serpent was in the wilderness. In John 6, Jesus says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Why? Because again, Jesus is that Passover lamb. There has to be a slaughter if there is going to be a feast. When Jesus' side is pierced, what does John tell us comes out? Blood and water. The crucifixion is the main event for John, because this is where forgiveness is won. If you were to read through this entire narrative, you'll actually find that in John's gospel, there are very specific events that are actually missing, that are found in all of the other three gospels. For instance, the transfiguration. Why is there no transfiguration account in John? Why don't we see Jesus on a mountaintop shining in glory? It's because the glory of God for John is not found on top of a mountain. It's not found in the transfiguration, even though John was an eyewitness to that. He doesn't record it because that is not where he sees God's glory. God's glory is found in the crucified Christ when he is lifted up there on the cross. Good Friday provides us with the opportunity to remember that the only solution to our sin is through Jesus, through his work on a tree. And as today is called Good Friday, it is good that we remember. Because so often we try to deal with our sin by ourselves. You see, when we sin, there are several shameful options at our disposal. Options, again, that we shamefully, continually employ. We can blame someone else for our sin. Normally, it's those who are closest to us, right? Those who are in closest proximity. So it's our spouse or our parents or our teachers. Heck, we'll even blame the government. Who cares? We'll blame anyone. That way, our sin does not rest on our shoulders. However, this never works. The sin is still there. We can rationalize our sin away. It's not that big a deal. It doesn't really hurt anyone. However, the sin is still there. We could play the comparison game. There's always somebody who is a worse sinner than we are. Point out someone else whose sins are far more evil than your own. However, your sin is still there. It doesn't get erased just because someone else is a bigger sinner. We can simply pretend that we didn't do it. That the sin doesn't even exist, right? We'll shove it into the back of our mind and we'll not think about it. At least for today. Because honestly, what will happen is it'll come back into our remembrance. Why? Because the sin is still there. We busy ourselves with all manner of things. That way we don't have to think about our sin. We distract our minds with an endless amount of TV or the internet. Or it'll probably help if we have a drink or two, take some pills, smoke some tobacco, or God knows what else. We do this to escape the reality of our sin. However, the sin is still there. And if the sin doesn't get taken care of, it always dominoes. It always creates more sin. Do you see the problem? Nothing we can do can erase our sin. Nothing we do can take it away. There's only one solution to sin, my friends. It's Jesus. And so today in our gospel reading, especially that we'll hear in just a few moments, you are invited to stand with John under the cross of Christ. John was there. He saw it. He heard it all. And he tells you that Christ's blood alone can wash away your sin. And for everyone who believes, all sin is forgiven. It's the gift of God, and it is full, and it is free, and there is nothing you have to do to earn it. It is simply there for you to believe and receive it. And it's free for you, but it wasn't free for Jesus. He paid the price. He covered the cost. His suffering and crucifixion was payment for your sin and mine. Jesus is flogged by the Roman soldiers. His back is ripped open by their whips. He is spit upon repeatedly and mocked as a false king. Stripped of his clothing and nails are driven through his wrists and feet. And to add to the disgrace, Jesus watches as the soldiers cast lots to determine who might have his clothes as he hangs naked on the cross. That's the price. That's what your sin costs. And what's worse is that Jesus tells him that his Father, whom he has been faithful to for his entire life, forsakes him. That way you might be children of God in his place. The crucifixion itself was designed to be both painful and humiliating. The details of what happened to Jesus' body on the cross are gruesome, to say the least. See, I don't know if you know anything about how crucifixion works, but honestly, the gospel really doesn't tell us a whole lot about the atrocities of it. Within a few minutes, the first thing that would have happened to Jesus is both of his shoulders would have become dislocated, because his arms were stretched upward and they couldn't bear the weight of his body that they would have to hold. This would cause stress on your diaphragm, right? That muscle that causes your lungs to fill and then also empty. And so what he'd have to do to make his diaphragm work is push his feet on that nail that was driven through them. That way he could finally get his diaphragm to work, that he could exhale his breath. But what happens when you put stress on your feet, when there is a nail through them, is that the pain becomes excruciating. You can't hold that forever, and so eventually he succumbs to the pain and he has to sink back down onto his shoulders that are already in their own pain. All the while, the hamburger meat that became his back are moving up and down against the rough-hewn wood of the cross. Jesus did this for 6 hours. 6 hours of pain. 6 hours not being able to take a normal breath until Jesus becomes completely exhausted. The cause of death would either be cardiac arrest or suffocation, whichever came first. That's the cost of sin. And to think that your God and your Savior paid it willingly. He knew what he would have to endure. He knew the pain that it would cause him, not only physically, but the pain of being left behind by his Father in heaven. He knew it all, and he went anyway. My friends, you are forgiven. It is finished. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. John was standing there under the cross. He tells of the crucifixion for you. He recounts what forgiveness costs for you. And what does he tell us that flows from the crucified Lord but blood and water? It's the blood that flows into a chalice to forgive your sins. It's the water that was poured on your head in the baptismal font. These are the gifts of Christ that are poured out for you from the cross, that you may believe and have eternal life. My friends, today you are invited to stand under the cross of Jesus like John, to hold on to Jesus like John, to see the crucifixion as the greatest moment in history like John, and to have his blood wash away your sin like John. Because Christ's blood and death are the only solution for your sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.